This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I am Jim Harold and so glad to be with you once again. I am excited because I can officially now say Happy Halloween. It is October 1st and that means it's Halloween and we have a fantastic guest with us, one of our favorites and perfectly appropriate for this time of year, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. And we're going to talk about her new book, Dream Messages from the Afterlife. But first, I wanted to say a big thank you. I recently came out with my book, True Ghost Stories, Jim Harold's Campfire 2, and it has done very well on the Kindle. Currently sitting at number one supernatural I have for the Kindle. I have noticed a little downturn the last couple of days. So I would say this. First of all, if you have purchased it, thank you so much. Number two, if you've purchased it and haven't had a chance to leave a review over at Amazon, just go over to jimharoldbooks.com. That'll forward you right on to Amazon. You can leave a review. So far, we have 43 reviews. 41 of them are 5-star. So thank you so much, and I hope that you'll put your review. And then finally, if you have not purchased the book, now why haven't you? It's on the Kindle, and you don't need a Kindle to read a Kindle book. They've got a ton of free apps over there for almost every device, including a computer, a smartphone, regardless pretty much of the model and the make. And really, if you're listening to this show, you can read a Kindle book, and it's only $2.99. And if you're into spooky, 70 true stories. So I'd appreciate it. I feel everybody that's listened to these programs for free all these years, I think it's a fair request. So I would request that if you haven't done it, go do it now. $2.99 on the Kindle. And a print version will be coming out. The fine folks over at Amazon have not exactly told me when that will be. That should be sometime this week, hopefully. And you know that you'll know about it when it comes out. JimHaroldBooks.com. That'll take you to the appropriate pages to pick it up in Kindle and when it's available in paperback. Thank you so much. And I was joking with our guest because she is a prolific author. And I said, I only have 50 something more books to go to catch up with her, but that's if she stops. But that's not going to happen anytime soon because she is one of the greatest authors in the paranormal genre today. Rosemary Ellen Guiley is a leading expert in the paranormal, metaphysical, and spiritual fields, and is the author of more than 50 books, including The Pocket Dream Guide and Dictionary, and 5 other books on dreams. She has been a lay facilitator of dream work since the early 1990s, helping people explore their dreams in one-on-one and group settings. She also conducts workshops on developing intuitive and psychic abilities. She is a former board member of the International Association for the Study of Dreams, and Rosemary is a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM, where she often discusses dreams, and she's also a frequent guest on this program, and we're so happy and so honored that she is, and she's with us again. Rosemary, welcome to the program today. Happy Halloween.
And happy Halloween to you, Jim. Congratulations on the success of your book. That's just fantastic.
Yes, yes. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and then. No, I'm just kidding. No, we're really very appreciative of everybody who's purchased it and picked up on. It's been a lot of fun, exciting couple of weeks. Now, let's get to the subject of hand. This book, Dream Messages from the Afterlife. Now, if you talk to our skeptic friends, our debunker friends, they might be likely to say, well, Rosemary, dreams are just a physiological response, kind of like Scrooge said, a bit of undigested gruel. So how can you extrapolate messages from the afterlife? What do you say to those who say that dreams are just kind of the junk drawer of our minds?
Dreams have had a long history going back to ancient times as doorways to the afterlife and also the realm of the gods, which would include spirits and angels and other beings that don't exist in this dimension. We've had anecdotal accounts for centuries, and these are very powerful experiences that are distinctly different from ordinary dreaming. Frankly, with the skeptics, many of them don't become convinced until they have the experience themselves. Dream work has been a very valuable tool for looking into the future, looking for communication with those who've passed on, and probing the spiritual realms. Most of our dreams, however, are really about ourselves and our daily affairs, and we're processing our emotions and a lot of our anxieties because our dreams tell us when we're out of kilter. But every now and then, we all have a dream that is so different, so real, that we feel transported into another world, entirely another world, where we can experience things with heightened senses and have non-earthly experiences. So the body of subjective evidence is very powerful for this kind of experience. But, you know, admittedly, it's nothing that would convince a skeptic.
Now, you've covered so many different areas in this book, and I thought maybe we could touch on some of them. But when you launched this investigation, did you expect to find a correlation between messages of the afterlife? How did you come upon this area of research?
Dreams have been important to me for my whole life, and that's because of psychic dreaming in my family. My mother had a lot of precognitive dreams, and this interested me at a fairly early age. I was an adolescent when she told me about these kinds of dreams, and it propelled me into my own self-study of dreams. The idea that dreams could be about something other than just one's own life fascinated me. So I've kept a dream journal, and I've studied dreams most of my life. And along the way, I have encountered many cases and accounts of these encounters with the dead. And I've had some myself. So I knew that this material was out there, and I felt that a book really should be done about this kind of dreaming because of the powerful emotional impact that contact dreams have. They can really go a long way toward the healing process. They're not going to magically erase grief, for example, but they can offer a great deal of consolation, reassurance, validation of our beliefs of the afterlife, and a comfort in knowing that some sort of continuity continues even after a loved one has passed away.
In looking at this book, it appears that these communications take different forms. How do you categorize these different types of communication from the afterlife through dreams?
They do fall into certain categories, and two of them are the most common type of dream messages from the dead. One is the farewell, where people actually appear in a dream or sometimes even in an externalized vision at about the time they leave the earth plane. This doesn't happen to everyone, but if the conditions are right and the person who is leaving is able to get through, then the recipient is likely to have a very powerful dream, lucid dream, or combination dream waking vision experience where the person says goodbye. And sometimes they just appear without saying anything. Sometimes they say goodbye or I have to go now, or don't worry about me, I'm all right. And then they vanish. And the recipient then, usually people have a feeling that this other person has gone on, but they are able to verify that death occurred at about the time they had their experience. So it seems like when we pass, there's a burst of emotional energy that is expended, and if the conditions are right, we can leave a departing message. But our consciousness is best able to perceive this when we're dreaming. We are in a very different state of consciousness then, and we seem to be more receptive to this kind of spiritual, literally, vibration. The other kind of dream that is very common and which has the most healing power is the reassurance dream. And that usually occurs within a few days or a few weeks after someone is gone. And they come back to let their loved ones know that everything's okay. You know, I made it. I'm still around. I feel better than ever. Don't worry about me. Don't grieve for me. Those are the two most common. And there are other kinds of dreams, too. There are unfinished business dreams where the dead want the living to wrap something up for them. There are forgiveness dreams where the dead feel they have to make amends and say they're sorry for something. And even spiritual guidance and life guidance dreams where the dead come back and offer advice about decisions that the living are confronting.
Now, it's fascinating to me, the one category you mentioned, the one about the external vision, because this happened to my wife when my mother-in-law died with a twist. And this is actually coincidentally in my most recent book, but she actually saw the vision of Mother Mary because that religious figure was very important to her mom. And I believe it was something that my mother-in-law knew would be a definite signal to my wife. And she saw full body the Mother Mary in our bedroom almost precisely the time that my mother-in-law passed away. And she perceived it as being awake, as waking from a sleep. And that sounds almost exactly like what you're talking about.
Indeed, and I would count that as a farewell visitation. The images and the words, the circumstances are all uniquely tailored to the recipient so that the message is very targeted. And in your wife's case, with the vision of Mother Mary instead of her own mother, for whatever circumstances that we don't understand how the mechanics of these things happen, it nonetheless was a message that she could understand and she would not misread. She knew. Now, one interesting thing about some of these visitations and messages is that the recipient of the message is sometimes not the person who gets the actual dream. And this seems to have to do with the way people dream or the emotional state they're in. But it's not unusual, for example, for someone who has died to come to another family member or even a friend and ask for a message to be delivered. And, of course, then the person for whom the message is intended will often wonder, well, why didn't my grandfather come to me? You know, why did he go to someone else? And these questions have no good answers because we don't really understand the mechanisms of how these experiences take place. But the important thing is the message gets through.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it is fascinating. Why do you think, or why do you theorize that it's the time of death? Now, I think you said something along the lines that there's a burst of energy. Is this like the portal is more easily crossed? What is the reasoning? Why do you theorize, or maybe others theorize as well, this is when the message is often sent, or through dreams? Is that veil thinner between the dream state and the other side as opposed to the waking state and the other side problem?
My personal theory is that it has to do with an expenditure of energy. When people are in attendance around the dying, they will often experience some form of energy when the person actually passes. And people have seen like a cloud-like form rise up out of the body. They've seen bursts of light. They might feel flooded with emotion. So yes, a portal is indeed opening up between the physical world and the afterlife. But there is this energetic transformation that takes place. And this seems to be an engine that can deliver a very powerful farewell experience. But as I mentioned earlier, it has to do with our state of consciousness. Now, some people are the recipients of waking dream farewell messages. where, you know, we'll be out doing something, and usually not too focused, in some sort of distracted state of consciousness, and all of a sudden, the person who is dying appears in the room. Mm-hmm. And people have even thought that somehow they got a real physical visit from that person because they look very solid and real. And then they vanish or they simply fade away. So it can penetrate waking consciousness, but it's more likely to penetrate dreaming consciousness. When we dream, we are in a very different state of literally being, and we travel really beyond this physical realm, and we are able to access things that are normally not accessible to us during waking consciousness.
Well, right after this, we're going to talk to Rosemary about different kind of dream, a dream where one might have a premonition of the death of themselves or another. A scary thought, but one that's been repeated many times throughout history. We'll be back with the incomparable Rosemary Ellen Guiley right after this. Happy Halloween from the Spooky Studio, and we have some Halloween offerings that I think that you will like very much. First of all, our book, True Ghost Stories, Jim Harold's Campfire, 270 spooky stories that will keep you up at night. Currently number one supernatural book. Kindle book, that is, on the Kindle at Amazon.com, and soon to be out in print at Amazon.com. Keep a weather eye, because it could literally go live at any time. I've sent them all the files. They have everything they need. I'm just waiting on them to get that live. So if you are a dead tree fan and you like your books the old-fashioned way, don't worry. It will be out in print. So just keep a weather eye. It could literally go live at any time in the print edition, and it is very live on the Kindle edition for only $2.99. Now, I've said this before, but I'm going to ask this very pointedly. If you have enjoyed these programs over the last several years, this is the way I make my living. And I appreciate each and every one of you, whether you're a Plus member or you've never had an opportunity to do anything like that, because I know sometimes it can be difficult in this day and age. But a book of spooky stories, if you're into the paranormal podcast and Campfire, makes perfect sense. And $2.99 is a very small price to pay for literally 8 years of entertainment. So while we've sold thousands of books, it's only a very small percentage of our total audience. So I would ask you as a personal favor, if you enjoy these shows, to go over to the Kindle store. Easy way to get to the book is jimharoldbooks.com. You do not need a Kindle to buy a Kindle book or read a Kindle book. You can use their free app. So this really, anybody in the States that's hearing this, this is totally applicable to you. And please go over there and purchase it. I would really appreciate it. And we'll ensure that we can continue to do these free shows, because believe me, I'm not sitting in an ivory tower here. I have bills come in just like everybody else, and we've got to get those bills paid. And, you know, even these shows are free. They're not free to put out. So I would really appreciate it if you could do that. And I'll get off my soapbox now. Now, by the way, if you're in England or in the UK, you can get the print book right now. It's over at amazon.co.uk. For whatever reason, they put it up on the UK store, but they have not yet put it up on the US store. But hopefully that will be remedied soon. To get to either the Kindle or the print edition, the easy way to do it is just to go to jimharoldbooks.com. And if you have purchased it and read it, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I appreciate a review if you've done that. And also gift it to a friend or a family member. Maybe you know somebody that's really into ghosts and you want a spooky story for Halloween. So we'd appreciate that. Second of all, I want to tell you about a cool thing. You know, we have our Plus Club over at jimharold.net, and we have a special October offering. And this is whether you want to be yearly or monthly, applicable to both. For the month of October, if you want to join up and save $1.10 each and every month, the discount recurs, you can sign up and use the coupon code HH13. Stands for Happy Halloween 2013. It's HH13. And that will give you $1.10 off every month. So you sign up, Sign up for 3 years. That discount repeats each and every month. A great time to sign up. But I also thought it would be a good thing not to forget maybe people who want to sign up for a year. This one will get you $11 off of a yearly membership. That's $11. And that discount repeats every year. So we have another coupon code, and that's HH13YEAR. That's HH13YEAR. So either way, you sign up monthly, you get a great discount. You sign out yearly, you get a great discount. I think that you will enjoy the Plus Club. I've had a lot of people say, hey, wish I would have joined sooner. Well, thank you so much for your time. I know we had a lot to say here, but we have a lot of big things going on. I'll be at the Paradigm Symposium in a couple of weeks out in Minnesota. Looking forward to that. So we hope that you'll pick up on these deals and pick up on that book over at jimherrellbooks.com. Thank you so much for all of your support, and we'll talk to you soon. Happy Halloween. We're back on the Paranormal Podcast. Our guest is really one of the top paranormal Fortean spiritual, whatever you want to call it, authors out there. She's prolific, and everything she puts out is great, and we're so pleased to have her with us again. The book is Dream Messages from the Afterlife. The author is Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Now, before the break, Rosemary, I talked about these premonition-style dreams. Now, this is always something, quite frankly, that has fascinated me and kind of freaked me out. You hear of these things, people dream that they're going to die, and then some tragedy happens out of the blue, or maybe it's a loved one. What did you find about these types of dreams?
Premonition dreams have a very long history in our dreaming literature, as well as other kinds of dreams. It's more unusual to dream of impending death, and it's very rare to dream of your own impending death, probably because of the psychic shock factor. We all know we're going to die at some point, but few of us really want to know exactly how and when. But every now and then, these sorts of forewarnings do break through. And some of them have affected major figures in history. Most famous is the story of Abraham Lincoln, who dreamed of his own death before he was assassinated. And these dreams are very lucid, they're realistic. You may think you're dreaming, but feel awake at the same time, or you may feel awake and wonder if you're dreaming. And Lincoln had one where he heard sobbing and moaning in the White House and got up to investigate and was told that the president, you know, he says, who is dead? In the White House, and he's told it's the president. It was himself. And soon after that, then he was assassinated. So we don't really know how Lincoln incorporated this emotionally within himself. You know, it was after the Civil War, you know, the whole country was still in turmoil. And he had many things pressing upon him at the time, and maybe he felt that, well, if his time was up, it was going to be up. It was destiny and meant to be. One of the most unusual dream cases happened in the first at the start of the First World War, and it involved the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand and his wife in Yugoslavia, and it was one of the catalysts that ignited the war. There were a lot of political tensions going on, and war probably would have been inevitable anyway, but the assassination quickened things. And a very realistic dream was had by an advisor to the Archduke, who awakened in the middle of the night from it, and the dream was so real that he wrote it down and sent the account off to his brother, and he was filled with this dread that the actual event that he witnessed, which was the assassination, was going to happen and there wasn't anything he could do about it. He dreamed of the Archduke and his wife in an open motor car, and they were shot as they went down the street. And he was only off by some small details, but it happened, the actual event happened just as he had dreamed it. this raises a lot of questions about destiny. And we all feel that we have free will and that our choices can make a difference in terms of what happens to us in life and even whether we die at a certain time. And yet when these precognition dreams occur of impending death, it seems to indicate that the forces in motion are past critical mass and that a certain event is going to happen regardless, that there's really no way to get out of it. And these are disturbing things for some people to contemplate, but yet they're reflected in our dream literature over and over again.
Another thing that strikes me as fascinating is this idea of animals in the afterlife and possible communication. What kind of things have you found there?
We are visited by our pets after they pass on, and we will even get farewell messages from them, and very realistic dreams about them in the afterlife, seeing them being healthy and happy if they were sick when they passed. Many times people have visitations where they see or sense their pet return to the home. Quite often these experiences are most intense soon after the pet has passed. And of course we have heightened emotions at that time as well. And they gradually fade off. I think that the portal between these worlds is most energetic in the days following a passing. And it becomes harder and harder to cross for the living the more time that passes. And a lot of it may have to do with the changes in our emotional states as well.
A couple of your favorite stories from the book, because I think that so people can get a sense of the kind of stories, and again, these have to be incredibly powerful and meaningful things to the people they have them. But what were a couple of your favorites?
Well, they would certainly fall into different categories. In the unfinished business category, there have been some very dramatic dreams where the dead have come back to deliver crucial information about missing wills, financial papers, and things like that. In fact, there was even a court case in the 1920s in South Carolina where a will was overturned because a dead man came back 4 years after he died to set things straight. A fascinating case from the Middle Ages where the Italian poet Dante died soon after he finished his masterpiece, The Divine Comedy. But there were pages missing from the last part of the book. And without it, the whole masterpiece was incomplete. Nobody knew where these pages were. And finally, one of his sons had a dream where his father came to him and revealed a secret hiding place. It was behind a wall. So the missing pages were retrieved, and the Divine Comedy was restored to its wholeness. That's really an amazing case.
Mm-hmm.
In the animal case, one of the most unusual dream accounts I found comes from the early 20th century in England, and it involves a dog belonging to a wealthy family who was kept outdoors, and it evidently met with an accident. It was hit by a train and fell into a river. The dog may have been dead by the time it went into the water. But it did not survive. And on the night of this accident, the husband in the family had a realistic dream in which the dog was drowning and was calling out to him for help. And it was so realistic that it was a nightmare, and he even cried out in his sleep, and his wife had to shake him awake. At first nobody in the family thought anything really was wrong because the dog was an outdoor dog and it never showed up then for its meals. So a search went out and its body was found in the river. This case was investigated by psychical researchers, and the man who had the dream concluded that he had had some sort of communication from his dog during the dying process or shortly after the dog was passed. And it included physical sensations for him. He experienced them himself, kind of a choking sensation and this frantic, flailing around. It's one of the most remarkable farewell visits on record, and especially from an animal to a human. And he said that, well, the dog was, one of his favorite animals. They had a number of dogs, and the dog was one of his favorites. So he had an emotional link with this animal, and it's the emotional link that provides the electricity for these experiences to happen.
Now, one thing that interests me is the notion that maybe this is something that you can create or facilitate. Is it something, let's say that the loved one has passed, and you know, many times people will try to contact them, whether it's through a seance or table tipping or a Ouija board or whatever it might be. Can the same idea be applied to dreaming? Is there a way that someone can facilitate and try to spur one of these dream communications from the afterlife?
We can certainly improve the conditions for an afterlife dream visit. These are often spontaneous experiences. Many times they're unexpected. And sometimes, even if we really want to have one of these experiences, they don't happen. It is a very uneven playing field. But we can condition our dreaming to invite these experiences to happen. And I think that is an important factor, that we make all the conditions as amenable as possible. And one can do that through dream incubation, using very ancient techniques to program your dreaming in certain directions. So if we were to ask for a message from a dead loved one or a visit, and a message is often easier than an actual visit, we would think about that person throughout the day, hold them in a loving light, imagine having a conversation with them, and putting as much energy into the sensation of that as possible. And then right before sleep, reinforcing that, going over that again with also the added intention that the experience will happen in dreams and will be very beneficial and pleasurable and have benefit to both the person who has passed on and to the person who is seeking the contact, and that something meaningful will happen in dreams, and that the dreamer will be able to remember the details upon awakening. And sometimes it may take a while for something to happen. Sometimes the message may not be delivered in dreams at all, but will come through signs, synchronicities, mental impressions, and other ways that might be easier for that person to perceive the message, but the energy to get the message will have been fueled by the intention for the dreaming process.
Now, is this always something that's a one-way communication, or do people have dreams where they essentially converse back and forth with the person who's passed?
People do have conversations, and it depends on the kind of experience. For example, if a message is delivered in a dream, unless the dream is lucid, it's likely to be a one-way kind of experience where you have a dream with a message in it, and then you interpret the message when you awaken. In cases where people have lucid dreams, that is, they are propelled into another reality with an awareness, with some sort of waking awareness, then they may be able to have conversations with the dead. And sometimes these people said, I don't even know how this is happening because you're dead. And the dead will often say things like, it was difficult to get here to have this encounter. I can only stay a very short time. You can't come with me. And these are purposeful encounters. They're never just for entertainment. They are very purposeful encounters. I do not think that these things happen very easily. So it's only with probably a great deal of energy expended from the other side as well as from our side that such a meeting can take place. But people have had, I had a conversation with my dead father about 2 weeks after he passed. And after I woke up from the dream, I couldn't recall all the details of the conversation, just the gist of it. We did sit in the living room of the house where I grew up, and we had a conversation. And I have some other examples in the book of that.
Now, how does one distinguish between a meaningful after-death communication and, how can I put this, a fabrication of one's own mind? For example, and I'll just use this as an example, a personal one. My mom passed in April. You know, I think about her a lot. I think about her every day. And I wouldn't be surprised if I have at some point, and I probably have, that I don't remember a dream of her, at any time. How am I to distinguish between her just being on my mind and it being an ADC of some type?
A lot of it depends on the circumstances of the dream itself. And yes, the dead do appear in our dreams. And in the grieving process, we're going to have ordinary dreams about them where we might relive some encounters we're able to process our grief. We're able to say goodbye, perhaps, or to have closure. So that is a normal part of ordinary dreaming, and the dead do become symbols in our dreams as well, and they can remain symbols for years, even, appearing in our dreams. But the after-death communication dreams that are the visitations have a distinctly different set of characteristics to them, and they're very intense. In fact, I found a lot of similarities between these kinds of dreams and out-of-body experiences and even near-death experiences. They have an intensity to them that is missing from most ordinary dreams. The senses of the dreamer are very heightened. Colors and sensations and emotions are heightened. There may be a very strange atmosphere to the dream. People have described an electrical feel or a heavy, kind of wavy feel to the air, a thickness to the air. The encounter may take place somewhere that's not in ordinary life, but just some other unknown place. The person feels like they are awake, and quite often they are capable of touching the person who has passed, feeling their skin, feeling their clothing, as though that person were still living and present. So those are some of the dominant characteristics. That people may also feel transported out of body or some sort of rapid transit to another location. There is often some sort of brilliant light, especially in the background. The entire environment may be suffused with a very brilliant light. There might be others present who are dead or who seem to be spirits, so such as angels. When the person returns to waking consciousness, they are sometimes confused as to whether or not they had a real experience, they went somewhere and had a real experience, or it was quote-unquote just a dream. Well, dreams are not ever just dreams. They're very important to our life and our spiritual development. But they know that this dream experience was markedly different from the way they dream most of the time.
Well, this is a topic I think that relates to everyone, because all of us have had loved ones, friends, and relatives who have passed, and I'm sure that we're missed very much, and we all dream. So I can't think of a much more universal subject. So since it is universal, everybody should know where to pick up the book and how to pick up the book. Rosemary, three things. First, where can they pick up the book? Where can they get information on everything you do? And what are you going to be doing this Halloween season? What would you like to promote to the folks?
The book is available on Amazon in hard print. It's not up in Kindle yet. It is available in hard print on my website, visionaryliving.com. And I do have some other articles on dreams and the afterlife and spirit communications on my website. As for Halloween, well, it's that ghostly time of year, and I give a lot of lectures, and I do touring talking about the ghostly aspect of the paranormal side. I'm going to be in Salem the weekend before Halloween. I'm going to be doing a workshop on dark near scrying for contacting the dead. And then I'm going to kick back and have some fun at the witches' balls and the Dumb Supper. That's another ritual for honoring the dead. Salem is spook central. You can't be in a better Halloween.
No, certainly. And I know I was talking to Michelle Belanger the other night, and I know she's going to be in Salem. I'm not sure if it's for the same event, but I know she was headed out that way as well. Well, Rosemary, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. I look forward to speaking to you next time about whatever book you're doing at the time, because anything that you do is really high, high quality stuff. We thank you for your time, and happy Halloween.
Thank you very much, Jim, and happy Halloween to you.
And happy Halloween to all of our listeners across the world. And it's always great to talk to Rosemary. Now, I did want to make a note about my book that I did not mention before, True Ghost Stories, Jim Harold's Campfire 2. Now, I know this is true for the states. Your mileage may vary in other countries. If you are an Amazon Prime member and you have a physical Kindle, you've purchased a hardware unit Kindle, they have a thing called the Kindle's Lending Library, or Kindle Owner's Lending Library, something like that, where you can borrow books for free. Well, my Campfire 2 book is available in that library, and I know that you get one book a month as a Kindle owner myself. So, again, this doesn't apply. If you don't own a physical Kindle, this doesn't apply to you, although you certainly can read the book with those apps I told you about. But if you are a Prime member and you owned a Kindle, you can borrow my book for free, and a great thing about it is it still benefits us tremendously. So if you decide for some reason you wouldn't want to own the book, don't know why that would be, but if you just want to borrow it, we would certainly appreciate that as well, and you can do that by going through your Kindle and looking, searching for it on your Kindle, and then there'll be a place there where you can borrow it. And since it's Halloween month, it's October, and you get one book a month, certainly, this would seem like the logical book. 70 spooky stories that'll keep you up at night. Well, we hope that we kept you up a little bit if you're listening tonight, or you're listening at daytime, whenever you're listening. We thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll have more spookiness to come. Happy Halloween! Now for the legal disclaimer. We do not accept money from publishers or content producers in exchange for interviews. However, as with most media outlets, in the majority of cases, we do receive complimentary copies of books and DVDs that we feature on our podcasts. Your purchases of books, DVDs, and other items via our Amazon.com links benefit Jim Harold and JimHarold.com and help us continue our programming. The sponsor messages you hear on the programs are paid endorsements, although we really do like them. For the full disclaimer, go to JimHarold.com, and thanks for listening.